you're in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus, presented by McDonald's. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And today's podcast is also presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Good Friday morning to you. It is Field and Matthew and Stefania and Daniel here as we get ready to preview all the remaining games in Week 3 and recap last night's Thursday night events, and it was a tough
thriller.
One last night.
Thriller.
No, not really.
Last night's thriller.
Candidly, it wasn't a thriller, as the Panthers
win
24-9. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a thriller. It was a 24-9 game. The Panthers, who the only team.
It was a thriller for everyone that had DJ Moore on their team.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. But for everybody, there's only one team in the NFL that has not yet trailed in a game this season. It is the Carolina Panthers. They are now 3-0. The Texans fall to 1-2. We have a ton to get to, but we have a ton to recap from last night as well. Let's just get right to it, Matt. Yeah. Only because when literally the best player in fantasy football goes down, it's a major story. Stefania Bell, early in this game, Christian McCaffrey left, and he did not return. What do we know about his health?
He has a hamstring injury, and if you saw the replay on the broadcast, it looked in real time like he made this cool stutter step, but in reality, he was pulling up his left leg and hopping on the right because he obviously felt something at that time. He was able to run through it, essentially ran off the sideline, but immediately was out, did not return for the rest of the game. Matt Rhule afterwards saying that McCaffrey was walking around back in the locker room, but that they would do more testing. He expected him to have an MRI this morning, and so we wait.
Okay, and we hope for the best, obviously, with Christian McCaffrey. It's hard to infer too much. I know that Sam Darnold did say in his post-game comments last night, you know, basically we told him, like, don't rush back. We hope to see you later on in the season. Make of that what you will, but let's just wait for the medical information. And Matthew, it stinks. It's brutal. He's the best player in fantasy football. He showed it during the first 2 weeks of the season.
He's a friend of the podcast.
He's a friend of the podcast.
So I think there's two things. Yeah, okay. First off, it's awful. Yes. You know, it's awful. You hate to see any player leave. You hate to see a player of his caliber leave. You hate to see him leave in the middle of a game like that. I think there's a couple of things if you have Christian McCaffrey on your team. Okay, number one is hopefully you already have Chuba Hubbard on your roster, but obviously he's going to be a priority when waivers run. So it depends on your league. Some leagues allow you to pick up players that are unrostered even after they've played, you know, like
rolling waivers.
But on ESPN, that's not the case. On ESPN, if he's available in your league, he will not be available until the waivers run in your league or the fab auction, whatever it is you use in your league. Okay, so he becomes a priority. I prefer him to Royce Freeman. And it appeared last night that the Panthers did as well.
They did, yeah.
Okay. So then there's two things in terms of what do you do this weekend. So number one is that I think that I might take the attitude as, you know what, I might be without Christian McCaffrey for a while. Again, we don't know. I don't want to speculate. But there's a chance this might be a multi-week injury. We just don't know yet. I might, if I had some empty roster spots, I might go through my league and try to pick up the Alexander Madison's, the Samaje Perines, the insurance policies of other top running backs. Mm-hmm. You never want to say you're hoping for an injury, but it is a violent game. Players get injured all the time. And at this point, basically, you have to think there's a chance I'm without a top running back going forward. And can I get some lottery tickets on my team now that potentially after the week three is over, I have somebody that's increased their value significantly that I can either then go trade for a running back or, you know, can use myself. Mm. So again, I'm not rooting for injury. I'm not predicting anyone's injury, but it is a fact of the game and just feels like you need to try to be proactive in seeing what you can do to fix what is going to be a massive hole on your roster potentially for a while. The other thing is to understand that maybe seeing how your Thursday night played off, like if I'm in our dynasty league, I have Christian McCaffrey. I played Mike Clay. Mike Clay has DJ Moore. I am down significantly heading into the weekend. So I'm going to restructure my lineup to be more upside because obviously I was counting on, you know, 25 points from CMC and I got 6.
Right.
So now I've got a 20 putt and obviously Mike got a huge game from DJ Moore. So now I have to reconfigure my lineup a little bit to be more upside, more high risk, high reward versus then more just sort of a safe steady because I think even keeled, I think I've got a pretty good shot up against Mike, but now I don't think I do.
If Chuba Hubbard is the man, kind of the one-man band in that backfield, not to the degree that Christian McCaffrey was, but if he is clearly the lead back, I think we probably view him as like a top 25 or so running back until Christian McCaffrey returns. He was a record-setting runner at Oklahoma State, but as we know with Christian McCaffrey, what makes him so unique is that he is the best pass-catching running back in the NFL, and it is not particularly close. Other highlights from this game, Sam Darnold had two rushing touchdowns, 25.6 fantasy points from Sam Darnold, who, by the way, now has as many 300-yard passing games this season, two, as he did in any of his three seasons with the Jets, also two. DJ Moore, as Matthew mentioned, eight catches for 126 yards. He was fantastic. But here's where it gets concerning for the Panthers, Matthew.
Before we move on to where it gets concerning, I just want to talk about Sam Darnold. He was on the love list, and I get it's been some easy schedules, but I am a believer in Sam Darnold as a very viable streamer, as a very viable QB1 streamer and a viable starting quarterback in a deeper league, whether it's a two-quarterback league, a 16-team league like we're in a few of those. Like, I just want to say, like, Sam Darnold's been really good fantasy-wise through three games.
And potentially even in a 10- or 12-team league when we get to those weeks where there are five or six teams on a bye. Sam Darnold's been
sharp.
You'd
like him better with Christian McCaffrey out there, but still, Sam Darnold's looked good. And, like, you know, even when the Texans got to him, I thought, you know, got on the run, got on the move, made some good plays, and obviously has a real connection with DJ Moore.
And he's a good runner, too. He had a 33-yard run last night that was nullified because of the penalty, but he is a very adept runner when he gets the opportunity. But let's move past DJ Moore to Robbie Anderson. And we're now three games into the season. Robbie Anderson has combined five catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. During training camp, for a team that also has DJ Moore and also Terrace Marshall Jr., a second-round pick, there were reports that the star amongst the pass catchers for the Panthers was Robbie Anderson, who, by the way, on August 24th, a month ago, Matthew, literally 1 month ago today, the Panthers doubled down on Robbie Anderson to the tune of a two-year, $29.5 million extension. They liked what they saw. Five catches through three games. How concerned are you?
Very. It's baffling. I have Robbie Anderson on a few teams. I was in a chat last night and I recommended him. Like, I thought this is a get right game for Robbie Anderson. Sure. He had the big play in week one for a touchdown, but otherwise not much. The target share hadn't been there. Week two, he ran a number of routes, got targets, just didn't have a huge game in week two. But week three, he got two targets. And it's not like he isn't out there. You know, you look at it, and last night he ran 31 routes compared to 34 for DJ Moore, 26 for Terrace Marshall. So three less routes than DJ Moore. Just couldn't get Sam Darnold to even look in his direction. Only two targets. One, he dropped one of them. One was called back due to penalty. Like, I think he actually got the ball three times. One was called back due to penalty at a catch. Or not called back, but there was a penalty before it, so nullified the play. It was a penalty on the Texans. One was a bad drop, and then one he got like a ball for 8 yards or something like that.
One catch for 8 yards last night. So let me offer some hope.
But it was brutal, man. Like, he wasn't even like, and if you just watch the game closely, Sam Darnold, like, if he was like at the bottom of your screen, Sam Darnold was looking towards the top of the screen. Like, he wasn't even going anywhere near his direction. It wasn't like he was going through his progressions and he felt like Robbie Anderson was covered. He wasn't even looking at the guy.
Yeah, let me offer a little bit of hope then.
Okay, please.
And you're right, it has been bad. But again, like, we have to follow the money on many occasions, right? They did pay him significant money. They view Robbie Anderson as nothing. He's not just, you know, a deep threat who takes up space and detracts from other wide receivers. And Josh Norris, our friend Josh Norris, who over at Underdog Fantasy tweeted this, he responded to me in a tweet that I had about Robbie Anderson this morning, noting what I mentioned earlier. They're the only team in the NFL that has not yet trailed in a game this season. Game flow has not been pass heavy, and they play the Cowboys in week four, a team that we all believe is a very good offense, not a great defense. I'm not telling you right now that I'm going to jam Robbie Anderson to my week four lineup. I get it if you're fading him next week because of how bad he's been through three games, but that get-right game that we hoped for last night, maybe week four is an even more accurate test as to whether he does get right.
All right, so then two questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Two fast questions because we still have so much to preview going into the week.
But this is an important topic.
I understand.
This is a guy that was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver last year. And
he's great.
You know, he's been absolutely brutal so far this season. Like, I had a lot of people on Twitter, and I was doing the chat on the Fantasy Life app, right? And they people are saying to me, hey, do we drop Robbie Anderson? Is Robbie Anderson welcome to Dumpsville?
He's not for me. Not even close.
I want to say not even close because he's been, I mean, it's three games of non-production.
I know.
But I agree with you. I'm still holding tight. So here's a question now for you too. You and I are in the War Room League. Robbie Anderson is one of my wide receivers in the War Room League.
Yeah.
You want to trade for him?
Sure.
You going to buy low on Robbie Anderson? What are you going to offer me?
So, you know, everything is
relative.
I mean, everything's relative in our league, right? Like, depth is not exactly like hard to come by, right?
So what would you, if for somebody out there that does not have Robbie Anderson and you were recommending acquiring Robbie Anderson low, what would you offer? What's a legitimate offer that you think gets accepted for Robbie Anderson?
A legitimate offer that I think gets accepted for Robbie Anderson right now. Let me just sort of scan around and think about some players that have been okay. Like, let me ask you this. If I offered you, I think you'd take this. If I offered you Sterling Shepard, would you give me Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, I think I might.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, that's actually right. Pretty good right
that's
there.
A good
you
one,
take
right?
that. So if I offered
And obviously
you,
way different ADP between those two players.
If I offered you Rondale Moore, would you give me Robbie Anderson?
No, probably not. Okay. I'm a little worried about I love Rondale Moore's talent. I just worry they have so many mouths to feed in Arizona.
Let's do more. Only because we can have the same conversation on Monday after games have played, and I know people want a lot of information heading into this. So like, let's
fair
see
enough.
How week
let's
three plays out.
But all I'm just saying is I just – Robbie Anderson's a fascinating topic. If you were like – I'm more nervous than Field is. Make an offer, though. If you were a believer like Field, and to your point, yes, they paid this guy. We've seen him be productive. We've seen him be productive with Sam Darnold in New York. We've seen him be productive with Matt Rhule in college and last year.
Sure.
So, like, there's a lot of positive indicators, and we know the guy's talented, right? So there's a lot of positive indicators. There's just three games of, like, what is this?
I just hope those are the three worst games of his season. There is nowhere to go but up.
But anyway, make an offer. Make an offer if you are if you're a believer in Robbie Anderson. We do all agree better days are ahead.
And we're all believers in Brandon Cooks, who last night did what he continues to do, which is exceed his ADP. He had 9 catches for 112 yards, good for 20.7 fantasy points. The only player on that Texans offense that has any fantasy value.
I'll just copy this too. By the way, Sam Darnold was on the love list, but Brandon Cooks was on the hate list. I'll put that there. And I think what was important about last night is that Davis Mills, whatever you think about him as an NFL quarterback, he's going to be good enough to get the ball to Brandon Cooks, because Panthers are a good defense. Panthers have been one of the better defenses in the NFL so far through three weeks. And so despite that, despite not having a lot of weapons, despite him being a rookie quarterback on a short week, Davis Mills was good enough to get the ball to Brandon Cooks. So bad call by me, but positive for people that have rostered Brandon Cooks.
Let's move forward to the injuries. We turn back to Stefania for all those. And Stefania, a very quarterback-heavy week. Let's begin with Tua. This one's the easiest of our quarterback injury updates.
It's easy this week because he's already been ruled out with, now, as we know, fractured ribs. But Brian Flores did refer to him as day-to-day. And I've seen a lot of variation in people just assuming he'd be out multiple weeks because they're comparing it to Drew Brees. A couple of words of caution. Drew Brees had multiple ribs and a pneumothorax, a lung puncture. That's not the case for Tua, as far as we know. So it could be a sooner return.
Didn't we find out last year, like, however many number of ribs Drew Brees had broken? I didn't realize we had that many ribs. Like, I thought
some
we had
of
eight.
Us don't.
He all,
some of
he
us
also
don't
had
have that many
fractured
ribs.
On both sides, which if you can just imagine, I think just really
it's like 23 ribs are broken. I was like,
Brees.
I'm pretty sure I can count four here.
Right.
Anyways,
let's I'm like, yeah, I have four.
Yeah.
Suddenly,
yeah.
Like, you remember the Flintstones, like those big brontosaurus? Like, suddenly that's what I imagine Drew Brees has inside his belly. It's like one of the all the bones.
Two brief questions here.
Yes, sir.
If you had
two
to start,
long answers, go
if
for
you
it.
Had to start a Dolphin, who would it be?
Miles Gaskin.
Okay. How about a pass catcher? Sorry, I'm a pass
if
catcher.
I have to start a pass catching Jalen Waddle.
Okay. If the other option was to eat something raw, would you rather do that? Something like that's unsavory and raw. Would you rather do that than start a Dolphins pass catcher?
I'm a pretty picky eater. Picky eater, so I'll just start Jalen Waddle and hope he takes one to the house.
Okay.
Like, my son who's a senior at Tulane, calls me last night and he says, "Hey, I'm at this party and this kid's like a massive fan of yours, and he says he'll give me $400 if I hand the phone to you. Will you talk to him?" And I say, like, yeah, I'll make you $400, sure. Like, so whatever. So I get on the phone with a kid, and the kid's question is Jalen Waddle versus Juju Smith-Schuster, right? You know?
Yeah.
I have a feeling the kid was drunk, and I don't think my son actually made $400, but whatever.
Cut to Matthew taking a cut.
I know.
I was going to say.
I want 10%. Well, Venmo requested $40 for my son. Yeah. No, anyway, so anyway, I talked to this kid, and I'm like, and he was asking me that question, and I said, I have Juju ranked a little bit higher. Okay. I said, but I think he's more the floor play. I said, but you know, Jalen Waddle. Anyway, but the kid starts arguing with me. Jalen Waddle is so excited. I'm like, dude, you literally bribed my kid to get on the phone with me, and now you're arguing with me. Like,
I love the idea.
Like, what are you doing?
Like, Matthew arguing with a drunk college kid that doesn't even know over the phone.
It's like 11, exactly. It's like 11:45 at night. Like, the game's almost ending.
What is your life, Matthew Berry?
This is what happened to me last night. I swear to God. My poor son, you know, he's a senior
your
Tulane.
Poor son.
And
he's enterprising.
Well, he's enterprising, but, you know.
This kid, meanwhile, Matthew's listen, kid, I know you're 9 natty lights deep, but I had half a margarita earlier,
right,
and
exactly.
I'm also feeling it, okay?
Exactly.
So I can go toe-to-toe with you right
but
now.
But exactly, we're arguing over Jalen Waddle, because he basically wants me to tell him Jalen Waddle, and then start Jalen Waddle. He's but you said Juju, and you're the man. And I'm like, dude, like, you asked my opinion, I'm giving you my opinion, and now you're arguing with me, and I don't even know you.
Okay, let's move forward.
It's like crazy.
That's a good story, though. That was actually
all right, Stefania. How about Carson Wentz?
Just so you know what my life is like.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Exciting.
I'm super jealous.
Something for you to look forward to when your daughter is in college.
Somehow I feel like
she's
going to
be homeschooled. Stefania, how about Carson Wentz?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
She's like a Bronx. She'll skip college. Worked out okay for him.
Because I want to be respectful of injuries, not be laughing. Carson Wentz dealing with bilateral ankle injuries, right and left, as we know, has not practiced yet this week, but that is not surprising to us. The Colts said they were going to make a decision Friday. They wanted to get him rest and rehab during the course of the week and then see what he can do Friday. I have a feeling we're going to have the answer today.
And I get the feeling the answer he's not going to play. And yesterday there was a report that Brett Hundley was taking most of the first team reps in practice. Matthew, so I'll ask you this one question. Would you start any Colt on Sunday?
I guess Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, that's I'm mopping him into the category in this question. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's Jonathan Taylor, like Michael Pittman. I mean, like maybe it's, but I like you just we just don't know what you're going to get out of Brett Hundley. Like, I mean, listen, by the way, Devontae Adams was productive, you know, whatever, however many years ago it was when Brett Hundley was playing for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers was out
and he's
Devontae Adams, I mean, not Michael Pittman. But yes, even though the Tennessee defense has struggled so far, I think it's Jonathan Taylor, and you feel better about the Titans defense than you do about any Colt offensive player.
I say the Colts, the Titans are an interesting streaming defense for this weekend. They have been really bad, so I'm not super confident in them,
right,
but I do think they're an interesting defense if you have a tough option otherwise. Maybe you normally start the Rams as your defense and you don't want to face off against Tom Brady. The Titans are one to consider.
My expectation is that the Colts just run a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they just try to control the clock, and a lot of Jonathan Taylor. You see some Mac dump offs to Nyheim Hines, some bootlegs by Brett Hundley, who is mobile, and they just try not to turn the ball over. I think the Titans are a risk reward defense to stream this week.
Two Steelers on the injury report, Stefania, including Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Roethlisberger obviously got banged up last week, did not practice on Wednesday, limited on Thursday, has that pectoral injury. We talked about it being his non-throwing side, and that I expected Ben to play. I think him being back doing limited practice yesterday bodes well for that. And then Deontay Johnson, the receiver who we saw go down with a knee injury at the very end of the game, has not been in practice yet. So definitely concerning for him.
Sounds like to make other plans for Deontay Johnson, but Ben should be back on the field. In this game, they also play against the Bengals, Stefania. They've got an injury at their wide receiver group that's notable as well.
Yes, but I have some good news for you on T. Higgins, dressed and preparing to go out to practice today.
Ooh.
So although T. Higgins has been held out because of a shoulder issue Wednesday and Thursday, him going back to practice today, I think, is an encouraging sign.
Okay, good sign. Remember, they do play next Thursday against the Jaguars, so we'll see whether or not he's available come Sunday. Matthew, I want to ask you quickly on
Deontay
Johnson.
Schedule.
I will. So I can argue with some drunk college kid at the end of the fourth quarter.
That's my gig. Yeah. Stay away.
As we move forward to that, and we go back to that Pittsburgh team for a second here, Matthew, the Steelers, is there a chance that James Washington has like some sneaky value here, or is he nothing more than like a DFS, no risk it, no biscuit type play?
There's a chance, obviously. Like, he's one of those guys that just needs one play to make his fantasy day. But no, I got to be honest with you guys. Like, Ben might be done. Like, Ben looks bad. I'm sorry. Through two games, Ben looks bad. He does.
Every blog's coming after you right now.
I'm sorry. Listen, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been an amazing quarterback in the NFL. He's been an amazing fantasy quarterback for many years in the NFL. But does anyone here think that he's looked good?
No.
The first 2 weeks?
He has been uneven, to put it kindly. Mm-hmm. He has not been great. The Steelers' offense has not been great through 2 weeks as well. So let me ask you then this, Matthew, because I don't want to turn this in. No one's starting Ben anyways. So let me ask you this. If Deontay Johnson sits, which we presume, does that kick either Juju Smith-Schuster or Chase Claypool up higher into your rankings?
Yeah, I think slightly. Like, again, like I, you know, told my drunk college kid friend, I start Juju over Jalen Waddle, right? And I do think there's some nice upside to Chase Claypool here. It's just hard to know what James Washington's role. Like, do I think James Washington suddenly gets all of Deontay Johnson's targets? I don't. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Deontay Johnson has a massive target share for the Steelers.
He's a really good player, yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, and I think they're going to lean on Najee Harris. You know what I mean? And so, which is what they've done through the first two games. And so the Bengals have played pesky defense. Like, and I don't mean that as an insult. The Bengals have, you know, been better than we thought at defense so far. They're not great, but I would say through 2 weeks, the Steelers' offense has looked worse than we expected, and the Bengals' defense has looked better than we expected. I still think the Steelers win this game. I still think the Steelers are able to move the ball in this game, but I think that the wide receiver pool is so deep, there are other guys that I would rather start than James Washington. But, yeah, certainly more targets for Juju and Chase Claypool. If they're on the fence, I would lean more towards starting them than not.
Would you start Juju over someone like Jalen Waddle, Matthew, knowing that Deontay Johnson might be out, or...
Yes, I would. Okay, all right. Daniel, yes, I would.
In fact, just to find where we go for more updates on my
Jalen Waddle's a man. It's so, you don't understand. Like, he could just, he's so fast. Dude.
Odell Beckham Jr. is also fast to find you. You think he'll play on Sunday?
I'm just trying to tune out that noise that's coming from the right corner of my stage.
I cannot be bothered.
Wow, I thought we'd retired that voice.
Me too. Okay. I hope we had.
My ears are delicate. I'm Queen
Odell
Stefania.
Beckham Jr., which I had told you I thought his tweets were hinting at a return. It really is looking like at full practice Wednesday and Thursday. He only would say, we'll see, when asked if he would be returning this week. But everything's really pointing that direction, and I would be surprised at this point if he doesn't play.
You know, I'll just say this, Matthew, is it's great that he's likely to be back on the field. My instinct is that most people are going to want to see it for at least a week before wanting to have Odell back in their lineups. It's been so unsteady since he got traded to Cleveland. There have been a few bright moments, but as we know, there's been many more disappointing weeks in fantasy. So if you need a Hail Mary, I suppose, which I don't know how many people are going to need a Hail Mary going into a 1 p.m. game on Sunday, other than maybe if they had Christian McCaffrey weren't playing against DJ Moore. But I think the smart play is to hold off a week and see where Odell is at before forcing him back into your lineup, Daniel.
I agree with you, Field, and I'm going to tell you that we're on to week 2, 3.
We are. You were giving me the L.
I was giving you the L. Sorry, guys. This is an L.
This is an L for a live read, and we'll come back with more banged-up backfield injury updates in just a second. But first, Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gumout. To get peak performance, a lot of people try the latest techniques, technology, and even ingredients. When it comes to performance enhancement for your car, the most exciting development is Gumout with Carbon Clear. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. It's also their newest technology. Think of it like this. We've evolved our stat tracking, right? It's not just catches, yards, and touchdowns, right? You've got targets, yak, even DVOA these days. So why not evolve your car's performance too? In fact, cars on Gumout get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gumout into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. And it's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car right with Gumout, now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
Did you know, Field Yates, that Tony Romo is now a motivational speaker? All this football season, Tony and Corona are motivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at remotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you're watching the game. Unfortunately, you won't be able to argue with him the way that Matthew argued with his son's college friend. It's true. You can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit remotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Keep things moving here with the running back injury updates. And Stefania, as we found out on Monday, Josh Jacobs was very questionable. How questionable is very questionable?
Well, not practicing at all so far this week, I think, lends some more support to that notion. It's not looking good. right?
Yeah, agreed. I would expect him not to play on Sunday. Matthew is the world's biggest Kenyon Drake fan. How much confidence do you have in him?
Kenyon Drake against Miami? You know, not a ton.
Revenge narrative, huh?
I suppose so.
Jalen Waddle or Kenyon Drake?
I would go with Kenyon Drake there.
Wow, you love him now,
wow,
huh?
Wow, huge Kenyon Drake fan.
Look, I've said this before. If you're going to start a Raiders running back this weekend, mm-hmm. I think you are starting Kenyon Drake. And I think the positives of it are is that I think the way to attack Miami is with short passes and with running the ball because those corners are so good. They blitz a lot, so I could see Derek Carr dumping off to Kenyon Drake. I think Kenyon Drake, you know, you see it there on the screen there. I have him ranked at 38, but truthfully, that is with the idea that I have Josh Jacobs ranked this week. Right. So he would move up. He would move up into the 20 to 25 range and maybe even slightly higher if we know that Josh Jacobs is officially out.
That's all I was saying the other day, man.
Like, he's flex-worthy. Like,
right,
he's
that's flex-worthy, all I was trying to say. But he's if he like, sits, like, he's like a 10 to 15-point player based off of my unofficial Field Yates projections. I'm not Mike Clay, but my brain works like 25% of the time. Let's keep moving here with
We don't need to rehash it. Go on Twitter where we posted a clip of me explaining why Field was so wrong on Kenyon Drake. That was beloved by the people. I think it did 150,000 views or something that. And everyone was just like, you're so right, Field so wrong.
That's the filter
I have on my Twitter.
He didn't at Field in the tweet.
No, what? Yeah. You didn't at me.
Did I not?
No, didn't at me.
No. Oh, sorry.
Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. Stefania, let's talk about the Rams backfield
for
a second.
Thank you for following me on TikTok.
I don't. Daryl Henderson.
Well, then how do you know?
Because I checked. Daryl Henderson, Stefania. Is he going to play on Sunday?
They're giving him every opportunity. Did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday, but Sean McVay had basically said they would wait till later in the week. Again, dealing with a rib injury, so you're going to wait as long as you can to find out if a player will be comfortable enough to go. I would say I would have concern that he's going to be limited even if he does. If he is able to go, it's really tough to play that week following a rib injury.
Yeah, I'm expecting him not to play as well. So, Matthew, let's talk about Sony Michel for a second here. If Sony Michel steps into a starting role, how much confidence do you have in starting him against the Buccaneers?
Got to be low, right? Got to be low on Sony Michel. I can't imagine wanting to be able to start Sony Michel against a
did
tough
you change
Bucs
your name
defense.
To Matthew?
Yes, I did. I was trying to save somebody.
The answer is not much confidence in Sony Michel.
No, sorry, I got an alert about Antonio Brown. Sorry, so I was distracted by my phone. I'm just going to own it. Okay. By the way, not going.
You were re-tagging me on TikTok.
That's what it was.
That's also that.
But exactly. If he doesn't play, Sony Michel.
Whether it is Daryl Henderson or Sony Michel playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I am passing on that opportunity.
Yeah, me too.
If I can. It is one of the best run defenses in the NFL. We saw it, you know, we saw it with the Cowboys and with Zeke. Like the way you beat the Buccaneers to the extent that you can is through the air. You're not going to be able to run up the middle against these guys here. I do think Jake Funk is sort of an interesting, you know, if you're in a deeper league, kind of a guy to grab just because Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson have both dealt with injuries in their career. But no, both guys make the hate list, whether it is Sony Michel or Daryl Henderson. You know, not somebody that I want to play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It is very difficult to justify playing Sony Michel on Sunday. It's not just that the Bucs are a really good run defense. It's that, at least with Daryl Henderson, there's some passing game upside. With Sony Michel, there is very little passing game upside. So back to Stefania we go, and the entire 49ers running back room. What's going on there?
What a mess. So remember, Elijah Mitchell had the shoulder injury. He exited the game, came back in briefly at the end because there was nobody left. He has not practiced yet this week. Trey Sermon didn't practice Wednesday, but was able to put in limited work on Thursday wearing a non-contact jersey. I actually thought that was surprising given just how it looked that he was back in there. I want to share this with you. John Lynch was on KNBR, local radio station in the Bay Area this morning, talking about the running backs. And Cam Inman, who covers the team, put this tweet out there. So this is a service to everyone who plays fantasy football. Take it for what it was. Elijah Mitchell, that's all according to John Lynch. Very questionable. Trey Sermon, looks like he's going to have opportunities if cleared. Trenton Cannon may get some. Jacques Patrick, I believe is how you pronounce it. You're going to think you've got John Riggins back there. Kerryon Johnson, maybe a practice squad flex. Sounds like a big committee to me, with them just looking to anyone who can fill in the gaps.
Wait, was that John Reagan's line serious? Or is he just making it funny?
No, well, you know, it's hard to interpret a quote off a radio from Twitter that, you know.
Wow.
He's a big guy.
He is built differently.
That was the implication. This is a huge running back. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I was going to say, like, you know, if you're invoking John, I'll start John Riggins right now, right?
I absolutely would start John Riggins.
But also, this is a Sunday night football game. So how are you going to trust knowing which one of these?
You're not starting any 49ers running back. You're not doing it, okay? If you want to play with fire, you can. If Trey Sermon gets cleared, maybe. But no, Matthew, you're not starting a 49ers running back. I'm sure it's possible that one of them has a great game, but there could be 19 players that carry the ball for the 49ers on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's dicey. It's certainly dicey. What you're hoping for is that we get news and we get more clarity prior to the game Sunday night. That you know, Elijah Mitchell officially ruled out, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Check Adam Schefter at 4:30 a.m. on Sunday
morning. I was just
going
to say exactly right. When Schefty always does his midnight tweet dump on Saturday nights, you know, right around midnight, who's expected to play, who's out, and that is like got 99.9% accuracy over the years. So I would literally check Shefty's tweet dump at midnight. And if Adam says, hey, Elijah Mitchell is not expected to play, Trey Sermon has been cleared, like if that news comes out, then I could see you taking a shot on Sermon as a flex play against the Packers. But other than that, like, you're not starting Patrick or Cannon or any of these guys until you see it. And it's still, and by the way, and Sermon would certainly be a risky start. It depends. Like, I have Trey Sermon in our War Room League, where it's a 16 team, and I don't know that I'd start him. Maybe. That's a 16 team league,
right? And it's possible that he could see the lion's share of the work, but for the past two weeks, he was a healthy scratch, right? Like,
right.
Clearly, there's something that they haven't yet seen from him that they need to see at some point. So I'm fading all 49ers running back. Stefania, a couple more injury updates, and they're late windows. This is tricky. Specifically, Miles Sanders for the Eagles.
Yeah, he doesn't play till Monday night, but was listed with a chest injury on the report. Did practice on a limited basis on Thursday. That's the first reported practice of the week for Monday night game. So I would say it's encouraging the fact that he was out there.
I get the sense he's going to play on Monday night for what it's worth, but we hope to have more clarity. This will be one that I think we'll have the opportunity to ask Shefty about on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. Shefty joins us around noon on Sundays. It's always very informative, last-minute information dump from him.
And by the way, just as we were talking about earlier in the show about like trying to pick up sort of lottery ticket running backs, Kenneth Gainwell would be one of the guys that I would absolutely want to try to acquire. If you're looking for lottery ticket running backs, you've lost CMC kind of thing. Jake Funk would be one of them. Kenneth Gainwell would be one of them.
Sure.
You know, just, you know, outside of maybe the obvious names.
All right, and last one here, Stefania, is Dalvin Cook, who plays Sunday in the 4:25 window.
Yeah, I think Dalvin Cook's going to play. You know, the ankle sprain was characterized as minor by Mike Zimmer. He pretty much put it out there that the offense goes through him and he's their leader and that they were going to play him. So I'd actually be surprised at this point if he doesn't play.
Okay, that is excellent news for Dalvin Cook and for the Vikings, who need a win, obviously, in the highest way. Highest order, I should say, on Sunday. A reminder, though, Alexander Mattison needs to be rostered in all leagues. Mike Clay did a good job of dispelling the notion that Alexander Mattison has not been effective when he's gotten opportunities. So go back and re-listen to yesterday's show if you did not hear that conversation, or follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Clay NFL.
Hey, before we move on to the injuries, just one little quick update, the one that I got. I just want to – so this is Rick Stroud on Twitter. Wide receiver Antonio Brown did not practice and is expected to miss Sunday's game. Would need two negative tests for COVID-19 at least 24 hours apart. Team travels Saturday. We will update with Bruce Arians following practice. So that's Rick Stroud, who does a great job covering the Buccaneers. Looks like they're going to be without Antonio Brown. So just something to think about there. You feel maybe better about Evans and Godwin and increased target share. You see some Gronk. Maybe you'll see some Scotty Miller there. But feels like you need to make plans to not have AB on Sunday.
Time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, and we get into a handful of players that we either like or don't like for this week. And Matthew, Ezekiel Elliott plays the Eagles on Monday night, of course, on ESPN. You a little bit nervous here about Zeke?
Yeah, he made my hate list. Now, understand hate is a relative word, of course. Right. Like, I ranked him as running back 15. Prior to the Thursday night games, obviously, okay. Christian McCaffrey out, so now he moves up to 14 for the week. But so I ranked him at 15, which is still a starter, right? You're still starting running back 15. I still think he's productive, but It's not the top five guy you drafted him to be. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned with this Eagles run defense. They have played very, very well. The Eagles held the San Francisco 49ers running backs to 3.6 yards per carry. You know, a pretty good run stuffing team. They did a good job with that last week as well. Tony Pollard is a thing. They're going to. My expectation is that the way that you beat the Eagles, this is going to be they're going to have to throw. They're going to have to throw again. And so when they've been throwing, they've been using Tony Pollard quite a bit. So do I think he gets the majority of the work on Monday night? I do. But do I think he's as effective as you hoped he would be? I don't. I'm a little concerned about him, right? You know, like, again, Hammond's running back 15. You're still starting Ezekiel Elliott, but I don't think he returns the value at the moment of where you drafted him, and you drafted him probably in the top 5, 6, or 7 among players overall.
And speaking of truly hard seltzer, a reminder to pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app. Daniel, I'm just going to ask you out loud because I'm make sure I'm doing the right thing. Do you want to go back to, is trust the strong word?
No, yeah, let's go back up to the top. I mean, it's okay. All part of that because it's whether or not we trusted Zeke this week, understanding how Tony Pollard has looked. But
got it.
Josh Allen's another guy.
We're going to play a game of is trust a strong word. Here's what we're going to do, by the way, is I've got the touch screen here, which we can navigate at the very end or right now. But we're going to go through some of these players, whether to trust them or not. We just sort of overviewed some concerns for Zeke Elliott. But Matthew, how about Josh Allen, who has been in a bit of a funk relative to his own standards of the first 2 weeks, but will that continue on Sunday against the Washington football team?
I don't believe the struggles will continue. He's a love for me this week. Again, going in to week three, I think he's QB 19. I mean, you know, which is crazy. He's not been a top 15 fantasy quarterback either week that he's been playing. I mean, this is a guy that went second overall among most quarterbacks. He was generally drafted second or third overall. Okay. But going against Washington, right? Going against Washington, I feel like he will get better. You know, one of the concerns is he's not running for touchdowns. He had a touchdown that was, he was down at the 1 yard line last week. I think maybe if that gets in the end zone, the narrative changes on him a little bit. Washington's been bad, by the way, right? I mean, let's be clear. You know, Justin Herbert had a nice game against them in week one. Daniel Jones obviously had a monster game against them in week number two. Washington has been bad. I'm a believer in that Josh Allen, the rushing attempts, will get there. He will start running for touchdowns, and I think he has a lot of success at home against the Washington football team. I'm as a top five play this week.
It's a back-on-track week for Josh Allen. Let's move forward to Ryan Tannehill, Matthew. This is an interesting one. My gut, and this is somebody who's having to choose between Ryan Tannehill and Justin Fields in the War Room League, by the way, but my gut is that Ryan Tannehill gets back on track in a major way on Sunday. What do you think?
The Colts have been brutal this week. This year, I should say. The Colts have been one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I mean, you saw Russell Wilson pick him apart, right? I mean, the Colts have been bad, and so I think this is a get-right game for Ryan Tannehill. Again, had the touchdown called back from Julio Jones. Derrick Henry ends up going nuts. Still threw for, what did he throw for, 400 yards?
I think it was 377.
377 last week against Seattle. Tannehill did. We believe in his talent. This is a guy who's been very productive fantasy-wise ever since he took over from Marcus Mariota, year and a half ago. My expectation is at home against the Colts, a Colts team that, by the way, might be turning it over and giving the Titans good field position with Brett Hundley under center. Give me Ryan Tannehill. He makes my love list this week.
By the way, we're doing the yes-no category for whether they exceed their week three projections or not. How about Saquon Barkley, Matthew, who I have outside my top 10, but you do not?
Yeah, I like him against Atlanta. I mean, honestly, 10 days to rest. Listen, if Saquon Barkley can't do it this week, then it's time to really hit the panic button.
I've already done that, by the way.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. I do not blame you. I mean, I was out on Barkley in the preseason, so I'm not hitting the panic button because I have 15 leagues and I have Saquon Barkley in exactly zero of them.
Yeah, me too. I have zero.
I mean, so, but having said that, for those of you who do have Saquon Barkley on your team, I do think this is a week that will be good. Falcons allow the fourth most running back yards per carry before contact, which is one of the areas where he has struggled so far this year because of the offensive line. My expectation is it's a bad defense in Atlanta. Teams have run all over them. 10 days to rest after the Thursday night game. If Saquon can't do it against the Falcons, He may not be able to do it this year. You have to be very nervous. But I'm as a top eight play this week. So, yes, I'm trusting Saquon against the Falcons. If you drafted him, like, you're sort of pot committed at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, the big thing I want to see from Saquon is I just want to see some passing game usage, some designed passing game usage. I was, you know, last week we shared the stat about how 14 of his 23 carries so far this year have gone for 2 yards or fewer. Some chimed back in, and this was appropriately so, that that's been kind of the story of his career, is he's never been a guy who's consistently gaining big chunks of yardage. It's that he has home run ability plus pass-catching ability. We have not seen that pass-catching ability on display. I'd love to see that here in week three. How about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Matthew? I've got him way out. I've got him at 24, outside my top 20. I would not be starting him this week. Would you?
Not if I could help it. I mean, listen, I am at running back 19, but it's, you know, which is, again, after sort of the, you know, after McCaffrey's out. It's a good matchup. I think this is going to be a very high-scoring game between him, between the Chiefs and the Chargers. So I think it's a very high-scoring game. He's on the field a lot. And honestly, it's just sort of like, you start looking at some of the matchups when you get down there, like, you know, like some of the guys in that range, like you don't feel great about Mike Davis with the Cordarrelle Patterson usage, right? You don't feel great about Myles Gaskin going against the Raiders because of the usage, because they're going to have a backup quarterback and how effective is that offense and slow pace of play, right? So you start getting in the guys that are in that range and you're sort of like, well, give me the running back that's part of a high scoring game that's on one of the best offenses. But listen, if you're out on CEH, I get it. I get it. So I'm barely as a top 20 play this week as a low-end RB2, but sort of depends on your options. Damian Harris has a tough, you know, matchup against the Saints, right? It's just, I just didn't love any of the other guys in sort of that range.
It's amazing, though. Like, there were three things you could sort of hang your hat on process-wise when you had CEH wherever you had him last year. One, he could fall into the end zone 10 times. Nope, he has zero touchdowns this year. Two, first player in SEC history with 1,000 rush yards and 50 or more catches in a single season. He has 29 receiving yards this season. Three, explosive runs. He's a shifty guy, right? Zero runs of 10 or more yards this year.
The other positive here is that I think it's a really good matchup, right? I mean, Antonio Gibson had a monster game against the Chargers in week one. Both Zeke and Tony Pollard had very good games against them in week two.
All right, so a matchup
it's
play
not. It's a, I think it's a good matchup play. I think it's a high scoring game. He is the starting running back of that team. Like, you know, he did get a, he didn't convert it, but he got a goal line carry last week. So
we'll keep moving here then to
listen,
other players.
If you want, I can keep trying to talk myself into this. I clearly don't feel super confident about CEH.
Let's move forward.
But I have him as a borderline top 20 play this week. I do.
Let's rip through the rest of these, Matthew, with the opportunity to get into love hate further after this. Tony Pollard had a great game last week. I don't know what his week three projection is, but are you more optimistic or pessimistic for Tony Pollard?
I'm a little more optimistic. Again, I think when you think about the Philadelphia Eagles, right, and it's a really good defensive line, although they lose Graham on the edge, that's a loss. So my expectation is the way you attack the Eagles for Dallas is the way they attack Tampa Bay in week one, which is on the edges and passing, short passes, middle of the field. They obviously have great wide receivers. I think you'll see Tony Pollard involved. Tony Pollard's a thing. Tony Pollard's going to be he's been very productive so far this year. There's absolutely no reason for Mike McCarthy to say, like, I need less of that in what should be a high-scoring game on Monday night. I'm more confident in Tony Pollard, especially in this matchup. I'm as a flex play this week.
James Robinson and the Jaguars play host to the Cardinals on Sunday. Who you got? Or what do you think, I should say? Optimistic or pessimistic?
Somewhere in the middle. I mean, I am at 21, so I guess I'm more optimistic than you guys are. You know, like, look, he's playing Arizona again. Same sort of premise here. It's a high-scoring game, right? It's going to be a high-scoring game. Arizona Cardinals allowing 4.7 yards per carry to running backs. That's seventh highest in the NFL. Robinson is getting probably, like, I don't know, two-thirds of the running back touches in this game. I think it's a high-scoring game. So my expectation here is that he has a decent game. I don't feel super confident. Again, like, this is what I'm talking about with CEH, right? Like, I don't feel great about any of these guys. I rank him at 21, and you're just kind of like, bleh. You know what I mean? You have him at 23. Daniel's at 22. We're all sort of in the range of, but, like, sort of depends on what you have. Like, do I feel super confident in him? I do not. But, you know, like, do I fully – is he on the hate list? He's not. Like, is this – you know what I mean? Like, is this kind of like, eh.
Okay, so
that's what I feel about James Robinson. Here's what I would say. ideally, he's not your RB2 and you're using a wide receiver at your flex.
Fair enough.
That's ideally what you're doing here.
I agree on that. Let's get to Robert Woods. Matthew, you trust him this week?
Trust is a strong word.
No, then.
Look, but yes, look, I'm as a top 20 play this week. Here's Cooper Kupp. My little Cooper Kupp has been nothing short of amazing. But Robert Woods has been out there, has been running a ton of routes. Again, the way you beat Tampa Bay is through the air, right? You do not, you're not going to be able to run on them. And it's a fairly narrow target tree. So you've got Kupp and you've got Woods. Now, Tampa Bay really struggles against the slot. So I think it is another big game for my little Cooper Kupp. I have my little Cooper Kupp is on my love list. But I do think Robert Woods gets productive, has a productive game. Again, I'm in the top 20. I think this is a high-scoring game as well on Sunday night, and it's a fairly narrow target tree, especially with the run game banged up and not going to be particularly effective. A lot of Cooper Kupp, a lot of Robert Woods, a lot of Tyler Higbee.
Do you trust Allen Robinson on Sunday against the Browns?
You know what? I do. I mean, listen, again, I'm a top 20 play, which is lower than I would normally have Allen Robinson. But I think Justin Fields is going to surprise some people. And I think, obviously, he's going to get a lot of volume, just like what we saw with Brandon Cooks last night against the Texans, right? I mean, it's a rookie quarterback. I'm sorry, against the Panthers. Rookie quarterback, but Brandon Cooks got enough volume to have a very productive game. And that's what I think happens with Allen Robinson in this one, where Justin Fields, he's just going to get enough looks from Justin Fields. And Allen Robinson is talented enough. He's kind of quarterback proof.
Last one here is George Kittle. Do you trust him or no?
I do. I think George Kittle has a breakout game this weekend. Breakout is, I mean, he's George Kittle, right? But I know he has struggled through 2 weeks. But you think about the Packers and what they've done against tight ends. Obviously, Hockenson had a monster game against them on Monday night. You think about week one against the Saints. Like, Juwan Johnson has two touchdowns. Again, with Brandon Ayuk getting, you know, not getting onto the field, really, you know, you're starting Deebo Samuel. I love Deebo Samuel. He's on the love list. But with the run game, a big question mark, and given how the Packers have struggled against tight ends, Packers, of course, traveling all the way cross country in a short week. This game is in San Francisco. Give me George Kittle. I'm as a top four play this week.
Nobody asked me, and it's not like Kyle Shanahan has a lack of creativity, but the 49ers need to run the play that the Panthers ran last night for Tommy Tremble. End around for the tight end. That was awesome. Well done by the Panthers. Want to see that one with the 49ers. We'll come back and talk about our craveable players. More on that in just a second. But first, college football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is back, and so are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. Or dipper. So crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole-tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Is Geico easy? Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It is time for our craveable player brought to you by McDonald's. And Matthew, we're going to go through a few players that maybe we have some optimism for this week. And let's start with Mike Williams, the Chargers wide receiver who we discussed on yesterday's show, maybe it was 2 days ago, that Mike Williams' average depth of target has been down by nearly 6 yards this season relative to his career average. And that's a good thing. He's been a much more complete player. The opportunities are much easier to come by for him. And do you like him in this game against the Kansas City Chiefs?
I do indeed. Like, you know, so again, have him as a top 20 play. He's a guy that's been a top 15 fantasy wide receiver both weeks that he's played. And what's exciting about Mike Williams is, and we've talked about this on the show multiple times, is his expanded route tree. This is not a guy that's just, you know, doing go routes and hoping we hit a big one, right? I mean, they're using him all over the field. They're being very creative in how they use him. We've never questioned the talent. You know, this is a guy that was a top 10 draft pick in the NFL coming out of Clemson where he was very productive in college. Injuries have derailed his career somewhat. And also, I think, candidly, he was used poorly. He was used incorrectly by coaches. But new coaching staff, new offense there, and obviously a stud quarterback in Justin Herbert. Mike Williams, again, we expect this to be a high-scoring game. The Chiefs have done well against perimeter wide receivers, but because they've been so creative with how they use Mike Williams, Yes. I think he is craveable.
Mm. Well, DJ Chark makes the hate list this week, Matthew. Marvin Jones is not on the hate list. Are you excited about him against this Arizona Cardinals defense?
I'm at 22 heading into week three, so borderline top, 20 play, just outside my top 20. I think he's a starting wide receiver in a 12-team league where you only play two wide receivers. Marvin Jones has been fantastic, right? Top 25 wide receiver each of the 2 weeks that he's played so far. Through 2 weeks, he's actually the 16th best wide receiver in fantasy football. He has all of the red zone and end zone targets for the Jags. Like, when they get in close, who's Trevor Lawrence looking for? And again, you sort of think about, how does this game play out? There's literally no way the Jaguars stop Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. They don't. So they're going to just have to throw. I think there's some junk time here. But again, like, I don't trust DJ Chark. I love me some Marvin Jones. So does Trevor Lawrence. Professional wide receiver, very good. He's been very good so far. He's getting all the targets. Give me Marvin Jones. Absolutely. On Sunday against the Cardinals.
And in this same game, just the other side of the equation, you love yourself some Rondell Moore as well.
Look, what's exciting for me is that not only the talent, we know about the talent, mm-hmm. but they are manufacturing touches for him. They're finding ways to get the ball in Moore's hands. I don't think you know this, but if I were to ask you, if I went to a bar, you want to win a bar bet? I'll go to a bar and say, hey, who leads the Arizona Cardinals in targets and catches?
Max Williams.
Not Max Williams.
Kenyon Drake still.
Not old Kenyon Drake. I think most Chase people would Edmonds. Say DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
And the answer is Rondell Moore.
Wow.
He leads the Cardinals in targets and catches. And again, they're manufacturing touches for him. Obviously, Hopkins is the guy you want in Arizona, but I prefer Rondell Moore to Christian Kirk, to AJ Green, to any other Cardinals pass catcher. You love the matchup with Jacksonville here. No team runs as many four wide and three wide sets as the Cardinals do. They're constantly in that formation. Rondell Moore's on the field quite a bit. We saw the talent. I know a lot of it came on one broken play, but
he can fly.
He can absolutely fly. I'm in on Rondell Moore this week.
Love to hear it. Rondell Moore, he is amongst our players that are on the craveable player of the week. That, of course, brought to you by McDonald's. All right, let's get into some things that we're watching closely this week. And we've got a handful of minutes here left. And I'll start. And I know that there are lots of things that we're watching for every single week. But to me, the story that could define Sunday is what happens with Justin Fields. Justin Fields set to make his first start for the Chicago Bears. And while the Bears say that Justin Fields will be the backup once Andy Dalton is healthy, I think we all know that Justin Fields will not be the backup if he plays amazing. We have seen in recent years that rookie quarterbacks can have plenty of fantasy success. We've had huge successes like, for example, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert last year. Justin Fields has a chance to be that. Beyond the rookie component is the fact that he's an outstanding athlete, one of the best athletes we have at the quarterback position in the NFL. And as was noted last week, he had 7 runs. He actually had 10, but 3 of them were kneel downs. He had 7 runs in a game in which he did not even start. Justin Fields has a chance to emerge as one of the fantasy lineup locks at quarterback every single week if he reaches his apex sooner rather than later. I cannot wait to see what it means for him. I can't wait to see what it means for Allen Robinson, who might finally be playing with a bona fide franchise quarterback. I'm excited for Bears fans. They deserve this. What are you watching for this week, Matthew?
You know, I'm going to go with the Giants-Falcons game because I think there's a lot of storylines in that particular game. So first off, Saquon. Again, we talked about this earlier in the show, but you're playing the Falcons. You've had 10 days of rest. If Saquon can't get it going this week, then I think it's really nervous. By the way, through 2 weeks, the 4th best quarterback in fantasy so far is Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. He should be able to have a monster game against the Falcons. He's a consensus top 10 play this week. Mort is using him against me in the war room, so you know he's going to go off. So again, so if Daniel Jones sort of, no pun intended, trips over his feet here on this one and doesn't produce in a great matchup, it's like, we can't trust him. We can't trust him as a fantasy starter. And so I think those are two really interesting storylines. And then on the other side of the ball, how much is Cordero Patterson going to be a thing? Like, we thought this was going to be the Mike Davis show. Patterson obviously gets the 2 touchdowns last week. What's the running back split in Atlanta? I think that's pretty interesting as well, because given the physical abilities of Cordero Patterson And the fact that he qualifies at wide receiver in some, on some sites, he qualifies as a running back here with us at ESPN. Like, that's a really interesting storyline as well, I think, for fantasy, especially if he becomes more and more of a thing.
Quick storyline for me before we get to Stefania's storyline is the idea that you said, no pun intended, when you said if Daniel Jones trips over his feet, which feels like the pun was obviously intended. I don't know how you say that and then say no pun intended.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this, I'm just saying, what I was trying to say is it's like, because he's,
pun,
he's known
though, right?
for that, right? No, but I'm just, it's not even really actually a pun, but I'm just, more no insult intended. How
oh,
about
insult.
That? No
okay,
insult
that's fair.
Intended.
Okay, okay, got
no
it.
No insult intended to Daniel Jones. I like Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you, like, I'm this, and, you know, he had the famous play where he ran and just sort of tripped over his own feet, you know, and so no insult intended to Daniel
Before
Jones.
Before we get to Stefania's storyline of the week, we need to marvel at Daniel for a second. I don't know how we've buried the lead.
Yeah.
Daniel is wearing no sleeves, other than tattoo sleeves, that is, because obviously. He has a tank top on right now, and he yeah. looks dynamic.
Fun Shirt Friday, guys. I mean, I thought, how much longer are you going to be able to wear a tank top to work? You can barely wear one in this studio, because you yeah. guys at home don't know this, but it is freezing in here.
It's
yeah.
90
every day.
Degrees. Yes.
That
every
looks
day.
Like a, that, is that like, and I don't, I'm not saying this disrespectfully, is that a garage sale shirt? That looks like a 70s shirt, like a retro kind of like.
I don't believe so. I think I got this at a store. Maybe Hurley?
Okay.
This might be like a skater shirt.
It's meant to look retro, yeah, then, is what
yeah.
it is.
Daniel
yeah.
also looks jacked in it, so that's a huge
I mean,
benefit
guys,
to
I'm
wearing.
Not trying to say anything special.
Yeah, welcome to the gun show. Look at you.
Those legal yeah. in the state? Wow.
No,
yeah,
they
exactly.
aren't.
Not without wow. Sun's out, guns out for Daniel Dopp over there.
Stefania's like, that's every day for me, so let's get to my stop storyline. What do you have,
no guns out today because it's freezing in the studio. I like to watch
to
players when they make their debut after they're coming off a major injury, and I expect Odell Beckham Jr. to play this week. Dan Graziano saying he's hearing that Odell Beckham Jr. is expected to take the field barring an unexpected setback, so I will be watching. How does Odell look? We haven't seen him really at peak performance in a while. He actually looked really good coming off of the core muscle repair injury that he had heading into last season before he tore his ACL. So I'm very interested to see what Odell Beckham Jr. looks like on the field. And then, you know, I'm always watching the Niners backfield to see who and what will play.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that one on Sunday night. Daniel, you got something?
I'll be really quick. I'll be really quick about this. Week three for me is the week where guys that I drafted with high draft picks, if they have not performed at this point, this is where I start to panic. They either
swim week. Yeah.
Yes. They either move from my starting lineup to my bench, or they move from my bench to potentially being dropped. Guys like, you know, I want to see how Saquon Barkley does. I want to see how CEH does. Marquez Callaway, a guy all of us were super in on, has not done hardly anything with Jameis Winston. Guys like that. I just want to see week three.
Listen,
is that week for
Josh
me.
Allen. Josh Allen's been
yeah,
bad.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen's been bad for a yep. couple of weeks here. So, yeah, guys that have been disappointing so far. So
we've got about 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to challenge you to see how many players we can get through on Love Hate Matthew to close things out. Let's be optimistic to start and begin with Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds, like, again, that he's playing Jacksonville. He's gotten at least 13 touches every single game. Yeah, give me Chase Edmonds against Jacksonville.
Like, that was good right there. That there was well done by you. How about Deebo Samuel, who currently leads the NFL in receiving yards?
Yeah, he certainly does, and he's getting a ton of volume as well. And so it's a solid matchup against the Packers. Like, I think he literally has like a 900% target share. Is that possible?
Yes.
No, in all seriousness, but I believe he leads the NFL in terms of percentage of his team's yards receiving. Yeah, I'm all in on Deebo, who, by the way, listen, for the Packers, they got their offense right, but their defense has been terrible. Like, again, Quintez Cephas had a touchdown against them, you know, like TJ Hawkinson had big games. Like, obviously, all the Saints did. Jameis threw 5 touchdowns against them. Yeah, give me Deebo Samuel, obviously. He's been nothing short of fantastic.
On that same note, sorry to interrupt this, but Brandon Ayuk is on that same thing where it's like, guys that I've been watching here in week three, like, he's right there, man. Got to figure out what's going on with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he has 55.
Nobody confuses me more than Brandon Ayuk and Robbie Anderson right now. Nobody.
Yeah.
55.5% of his team's receiving yards. That's the highest
crazy.
Rate among all players in the NFL.
Okay, we have one more player here, Matthew. Damian Harris, who had a great game last week. You're a little bit down on him this week against the Saints.
Saints allowed just 2.7 yards per carry to running back, second lowest in the NFL. And by the way, they faced Aaron Jones and Chris McCaffrey. Those are the two running backs the Saints have finished. That's a really good run defense here. He's not involved in the passing game as well as all. Both the Saints and the Patriots play at a slow pace of play. They're both bottom 10 in terms of pace of play. So there's not a lot of possessions for each team here. So basically with Damian Harris, you're hoping he falls into the end zone is what you're doing there, because I don't think it's a big game. Listen, he's a great runner. That run against the Jets last week where he carried like 10 guys into the end zone with him was awesome. But I would lower expectations for Harris against the Saints.
Big James White Week on tap for the New England Patriots, who host the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. A reminder, you can watch us all on Fantasy Football Now, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. We go all the way until 1 p.m. Matthew is there breaking down with the best insight analysis you'll have. Stefania is there with the best injury analysis you'll have. And I'm also there.
With the best suit.
Okay, I'll take that. Good. I'll take that. Thank you very much for that, Matthew. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I am Field. We'll see you guys again right here on Monday.
Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate. 'Cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yate.